Your child is melting down, and you have no idea why. They are crying, but they can't tell you what is wrong. They are angry, but they cannot explain it. They are shutting down, and you do not know how to reach them. Most parents in that moment do one or two things. They try to fix the feeling, or they try to stop it. But what if the real answer is something completely different, and it starts with a horse, a barn swallow, and a story? My guest today has spent her career at the intersection of therapy, education, and storytelling. And what she has built is unlike anything I have seen. Dr. Dina Plaskin is a licensed clinical mental health expert, an educator with a PhD in human behavior, and the author of Bella and the Bird, the Emotion Explorers book series. A deeply researched, award-recognized children's series designed to help kids and adults understand and manage big emotions through joyful, relatable storytelling. The series is inspired by her real-life therapy horse, Bella, and Bella's friend, Bird, a cheeky barn swallow who has survived a Hurricane Ian in 2022. And what came out of that experience is something that Kirkus Reviewers, Blue Ink, and Clarion Reviews have all recognized as generally valuable tool for children's emotional growth. Now, Dr. Dina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. Now, let's start where this all began, because your origin story is remarkable. You have a therapy horse named Bella and a barn swallow who has survived a hurricane. How did those two animals become the inspiration for a children's book series about emotional intelligence?
Well, back in 2022, I adopted my therapy horse, Bella, and she lived in Southwest California, and we were in Southwest Florida. So I adopted her to be my equine partner in my equine therapy practice. And she traveled all the way across the country. I can't imagine what she saw, how lucky of her. And she traveled all the way. And I like to think that Bird came with her as well. 1 week, she was with me for 1 week. 1 week later, Hurricane Ian hit our tiny community and it devastated our community. And Bella, of course, was there, through the hurricane. She survived the hurricane, thankfully, but she was only there for a week. After that catastrophic event, I thought about the kids and the adults in our community. And I thought, how are they managing this catastrophic event that just devastated our community? And I started writing about Bella's journey. And Bella was so strong through all of this. And I started writing about her journey. And I took my experiences in my own life. I took my background in education. I took my background as a psychotherapist. And I just melted it all into this book series. And I decided to start with the big main emotions. And the big one, which I felt was most important, I began with anger. So I just started writing. And from that writing right after Hurricane Ian, I created the Bell and Bird, the Emotion Explorers series.
I love it. Now, where were you seeing in your own therapy and education work that made you feel like something was missing and that storytelling was the answer?
Well, every behavior is a story. And so from my own experiences, I know that every behavior that we see, that we experience, it tells something. It tells a story of some kind. And so I wanted to take an actual therapy session and actually create it into each of the books. So you're actually walked through what an equine therapy session might look like, but it doesn't feel as if you're in a therapy session. It feels still part of a story. It's a narrative storytelling. And I wanted to utilize that, knowing that our behaviors are stories. And so how can we narrow down each of these big emotions, anger, sadness, happiness, fear? How can we narrow them down and just tell a story, but also more importantly, give parents, educators, and therapists tools in this storytelling book? And so that was my goal.
I love that. Now, here is the moment every parent recognizes their child is clearly feeling something big, but they cannot say what it is. They cannot find the words. Why is that? What's actually happening developmentally when a child cannot identify or name what they feel?
It's the overwhelmingness of the emotion. You know, we're not born with being able to pause. We're not born knowing that, you know, having patience a lot of times and pausing and knowing what to do with these emotions. What we are all born with are emotions. And so every single one of us experiences these emotions. That's what really binds us together. So because we're not born with these emotions, we're also not given the tools to know what to do with them. And so parents don't know what to do as well. So you can have a child melting down and the parent wants to fix it, but they don't have the tools to know what to do in that moment as well. And it can turn into just, you know, it's a complete meltdown for both child and parent.
That's so true. And why does that inability to name an emotion make everything so much harder? Like the behavior, the meltdowns, the shutting down?
I think naming it actually is a good thing. It can make it easier, but you have to first recognize there's steps, right? But the steps can happen so quickly. So if a child is in a meltdown, they need to understand. And through the books, we walk through Bell and Bird, walk through each of the emotions. And the first step is actually being able to recognize that emotion in your body. What is your body telling you, right? So with anger, what is your body telling you? You know, you have the clenched fists, you might have a racing heartbeat. And so that split second of being able to just, what is my body saying to me? And that is giving pause to the emotion. And once you can capture that pause, you can go into the next step without it exploding.
I love that. Now, this is the part I think parents and educators are going to find really eye-opening. Like the most emotional intelligence programs are like informational. They teach concepts, they explain strategies, and children tune them out, basically. Why does storytelling work differently in the brain, especially for children?
Yeah, storytelling is so important for children and adults because it's relatable. If the story's good, we can relate to it. So like in the anger book, the first book in the series, Henry, the little boy, comes to the pastor and he's furious. You know, you could see him in the book just stomping into the pastor. He's furious. And Belle and Bird, you know, they recognize that. And they give pause to that. You know, they don't go and try to fix it. And they wait for Henry. He's fuming. Like, you know, Bella says, what's going on? And Henry says, can't you tell? This is my angry face. So that opens the conversation for Bella and Bird to come in. And, oh, yeah, that's an angry face. All right. Well, you know, do you want to tell us what happened, essentially? And that gives the opportunity for Henry to start to talk and open up. And so storytelling, you relate to that. You can relate to that as a child. You could see the pictures, the illustrations, Henry being angry. And then as a parent or as an adult reading the story, they can also relate and say, oh, yeah, look at it, Henry's angry face, you know. And as a lot of times my books are tools for adults to role model. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, that's what I should be doing.
I love that. Now, what does a child actually experience when they see a character they love going through the same feeling that they are going through?
I think that's so important. In my second book, in the sadness book, Molly comes to the pastor, a little girl, Molly, and she's very sad. And in the beginning of the book, it was very intentional for me to, when I was writing it, to have Molly and Bella and Bird sit in the sadness. And I was very intentional in the beginning of them sitting in silence until Molly was ready. And that book in the beginning, you know, it's Molly cried. She really cried. And the connection there is that Bird offers a tissue and Bella offers sound advice, which is it's okay to cry. Sometimes you need a good cry. And that's true. And so if kids can see like Bird offering the tissue, you know, their little friend Bird and Bella, the parents can say, oh, Bella is saying, you know, it's okay to cry. It's okay. It's not a bad thing to cry.
Right.
Relatability. It's being relatable in these moments.
I love that. Now, for the people listening out there, if you're a parent, a teacher, a therapist, or anyone who loves a child who struggles with big emotions, this conversation is for you. Follow this podcast right now. Every week, we bring you the conversations that will give you real tools for real life. Now, you mentioned something that I think is really important. There is a lot of noise around social emotional learning and emotional intelligence right now. Like what is being done wrong in a lot of current approaches?
Well, I think the needs to be around balance. So there needs to be, you don't see a lot of balance in the social emotional learning, or emotional intelligence does create balance. It's so important. It's so powerful. And all of us adults can learn emotional intelligence. I mean, there's programs out there where major companies bring in emotional intelligence experts and help adults, you know, build their emotional intelligence. It's never too late, but it's the balance. And, you know, that's why Bird, my character Bird, is so important, because he brings the balance. And instead of, you know, before the 90s, instead of sweeping all these emotions and feelings under the rug and kind of ignoring them, starting in the 90s, we went the opposite way, so extreme, where we are teaching kids to express every single thing. And that's exhausting. And it's not necessary. We could teach them to express their emotions, but they don't have to do that out loud. There's lots of different coping mechanisms that they can do and find on their own, you know, from walking, writing, you know, artistic, riding a horse. You know, there's so many, the sports, like there's so many ways. And most important thing is that emotions need motion. And so if we can teach the kids and adults, you know, the an effective way to get these emotions out and the balance between the two.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And I think sometimes it feels like, you know, people nitpick every little thing, you know, and, you know, I understand that, you know, what I think might not be a big deal, it might be a big deal to somebody else. But I feel like in our society, every little thing is being kind of brought out into this large, you know, it doesn't really need to be brought, the emotion needs to be brought out that big. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you almost don't want to say that because you don't want to, you don't want to come across as if the emotions aren't important. They are important, but it's kind of, you know, I feel as though when we have these terms, like when bullying first came out, my PhD was written on bullying before bullying was a big topic. But I feel like we do hijack these terms. We do hijack these phrases. And then we go to the extreme with them.
I agree with you. So why do you think, I'm sorry?
It's the balance. It's a balance.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. It's the balance. Why do you think so many programs feel complicated or disconnected or ineffective for a child and families that they are meant to serve?
I think we as humans tend to complicate things all the time. Naturally, we just are complicated, right? We are. We complicate everything, it seems. But I think we do complicate a lot of things. And I think we have the heart to want to help, but at the same time, we get so enmeshed that we complicate it. And it doesn't it doesn't have to be that way. It's simply teaching children effective communication. It is really about the communication first and learning to have a communication with your child or with children, if you're working with children, without the complexity of it. Simple is better. Less is more in many ways. And again, bringing it back to the storytelling, you know, the series, you can incorporate the series into the classroom and into the therapy session. Yes. Very easily.
Yes, I agree. Now, what does a simpler, clearer approach actually look like in practice?
So in practice, for me, a simpler, clearer approach is utilizing the Bella and Bird series. And each of the books has two activities. And the activities are part of the book. So, and within each book, there's at least three tools that kids and parents, adults can take away with them. So three simple tools for each of the emotions and the activities that connect to that. Connecting these tools in a classroom, in a therapy session, or at home is simple. But they also, each of the books also comes with curriculum. So I developed curriculum. And as an educator, I'm very familiar with curriculum, with either Common Core or homeschooling. I have both Common Core and homeschooling. And you can easily incorporate each of the books into a curriculum as well. And I lay that out, and that's available on my website. And that's for free on my website.
I love that. Now, let's get into the books themselves, because I think the way that you have designed this series is very generally clever. You know, I think it's amazing how you designed it. Like, the series features Bella, the calm, wise therapy horse, and Bird, the cheeky, humorous, you know, barn swallow. And then each book tackles a specific emotion. Like, why did you choose to pair calm wisdom with humor?
Yeah, I just think humor is so important. Actually, I wanted a lot more humor in the books, but my editor kept editing it down because Bird was over. And, you know, I had to constantly bring myself back to, but Bird is so funny and I love humor. And humor is so important because humor is what, emotions are heavy as it is. And so we need to balance that with the humor. We need to be able to bring that humor in and laugh at things and come back to that natural, like, oh yeah, you know, anger is a heavy, big emotion, but we can bring the humor in it too.
Exactly.
And it's so pairing the two was natural for me because Bird actually exists. He lives in Bella's stall and he makes nests with her hair. And so when I started writing the series, I needed another character. I needed a sidekick. And it just came natural. Like, oh, Bird. He's funny. Yeah. He's wise. He's a bird. And I happened to just Bird. So his name is Bird. The two just naturally come together. Bella being wise and mature and Bird being, you know, wisecracker. And more like the kid's age, you know, I try to, you know, when you read the stories, you'll see that Bird relates with the kids.
Right. I love that. Now, what does the combination do for a child reading the story?
I think for a child, it reminds them that that humor is okay when you're talking about emotions. And there is a serious side to the emotions and we can pay attention to that as well. But there's also a side where you can bring in that humor and you can use these tools, the tools in the book, at any time throughout your entire life. That's the magic of the books, is that these tools are lifelong. These are lifelong tools. And as Bird would say, you're planting a seed. So you're planting the seed to the kids and adults, really. I have a lot of adults that tell me, you know, I used your box breathing. In the anger book, we start out with box breathing. I use your box breathing all the time. It just reminds me. So, you know, the planting of that seed is important.
I love that. Now, how does a child take the tools from the story and actually start using them in real life?
Well, I think part of that would be role modeling with the adult. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important. And I think it really does start with us. It starts with adults, because if we can't role model, what are we role modeling to the kids? So if we're not role modeling these important tools on how to manage these emotions, we're not role modeling good things. So first and foremost would be the adults role modeling. And that's why I think these books are so important, more for the parents and the teachers and the therapists, because we're all human. We're all human. Yeah. We're all going to fail at times. And the great thing about that is that we can come back and we can fix it. You know, the books teach about open conversation. We can come back to our kids and say, oh, I got upset. You know, I was wrong to get upset. You know, I should have box breathed and I should have recognized that in my body ahead of time. And you say that in a natural way, not like the way that I'm saying it right now, but it becomes natural. It becomes a natural part of your conversation.
That's true. Can you walk us through like one specific tool from the books that parents could start using with their child today?
Yeah. So in all four books, the sadness one is available now. The anger one is out of stock, but coming in stock, it just landed in the port, actually. So going to the warehouse. The third book is on happiness, which is fantastic because we all want to be happy all the time, right? And it's like a joyful emotion. But the reality is that we can't be happy all the time. Book of my little girl Piper is Bella and Bird teach her how to cultivate ways to be happy. And then the last book in the series is with my illustrator is on fear, which is just a fantastic book, the tools in there. But in the books, there's one consistent tool, and that's the Bella and Bird emotion wheel. And the emotion wheel is a tool that we often use in therapy to give kids, even adults, to give them the words to name what they're feeling. And so I created the Bell and Birdie motion wheel specifically for this series. And I spent a very long time narrowing down, making sure that each of the feeling words attached to the emotion matched appropriately. A lot of times you'll find emotion wheels where they're not matched appropriately. And so I think the emotion wheel is very, very important. I've had clients with kids just print out my emotion wheel, put it on the refrigerator, and, you know, just having it there and seeing it walking by. And if you're a certain emotion, you can look at the words and like say, oh yeah, I'm feeling afraid today. And so it gives them the vocabulary, and the vocabulary is so important when they don't know how to express what they're feeling. We have the vocabulary words as adults, but we often don't communicate them as well. We either avoid or over express and don't express it clearly enough. So the emotion is great. And that's also on my website. And that's a free download that anyone can download, put it on the refrigerator, put it at their desk. I have older adults who say they actually have it on their, in their office. And so they're in a conference or in a meeting, they look at it. And it's, again, it's planting that seed. It's that reminder.
Right. I love that. Now, I want to make sure we say this out loud, because I think a lot of adults need to hear it. This is not just for children, but how many adults are walking around right now who never learned to name or manage their own emotions? And how does that show up in their relationships, their parenting, and their health?
Such a fantastic point that you make. There's so many adults that just say, I don't know how to express it. I don't know what to say. They've never been taught. And they've also just never been taught that it's okay to express what you're feeling. And so it's not that they don't know the word scared or afraid or any of the other feeling words. They just never have been taught to do it.
Yeah.
And so it's like giving them permission. It's like it's okay to express that you might be afraid. And actually saying the feeling out loud in and of itself is a healing. Yeah. In and of itself, something magical happens. It's like, okay, I said this out loud, you know? And again, you can say it out loud. You can say it out loud to yourself. You can take a walk, yell it in the forest. You know, I say that sometimes you need to do that. But then when you start to have those communications with other adults in your relationship, your spouses and those that you love, the relationship just starts to thrive because you start to go on the same page, you know, the same page. And you can start to understand each other and open up these conversations. It becomes something beautiful.
Yeah, it really does. What happens when a parent reads these books with their child and recognizes themselves in the story?
Yeah. Yeah. And in a way, I really hope that does happen in a good way. These books are meant to be a tool in and of itself. So they're meant to do that. I really created this series to be a gift and for people to say, wow, I just really needed to read this and learn these ways of how to better manage the emotion that I'm feeling.
I agree. You know, it's really, it's a great book for adults and for children. They both learn from it, it seems.
Yeah.
Now, for the parent listening right now who is exhausted, who feels like they don't know how to help their child through big emotions and who worries that they are getting it wrong, what do you want them to hear today?
Well, I think what's the most important is, first, it's okay. It's okay if you're getting it wrong. And what's fantastic is that you're recognizing that. And that recognizing that is fantastic because it gives you the opportunity and the step to do something. And so the next step would be to actively, even if it's not my series, but you know, you can actively do research on some of the emotions. You can actively just simply download my free downloadable of the emotion wheel and the other tools that are in the activities, even if you wanted to, but just actively recognizing it and becoming more present in your conversations and understanding the behavior and understanding that, again, every behavior tells a story.
Yeah. I love that. Now, can you tell us a little about each book and where we can find them?
Yeah. So the Bella and Bird Explore Sadness book, it's about a little girl. Each of the books represent an 8-year-old. So that's my ideal child is an 8-year-old. But again, they're for 5 to 10-year-olds. And I say they're definitely for adults. But the Bella and Bird Explore Sadness book is about a little girl named Molly. And she comes to the pastor very sad. Her friends don't want to play with her. And so that's a very relatable experience that I think most of us have gone through. I know I have, where, you know, your friends just don't want to play with you. And so she's naturally sad. Bella and Bird walk her through her sadness and give her really great, valuable tools and what to do with that and what to do with those friends that don't want to play with her. And so this book is available now. You could get it on my website, bellabirdbooks.com. It's on Amazon very soon. It's getting there. And then there's Bella and Bird Explore Anger. And this book is about Henry, another 8-year-old. He comes to the pastor again, angry. He wants his favorite pie that his mom won't give him. And who can't relate to being angry when you don't have your favorite pie? So the tools in the book are great for managing when anger starts to come on. And so there's tools in there. The first one is the box breathing, which is fantastic. I have a printout of the box breathing that you can print out on my website. The third book in this series that is at the printer right now is Bella and Bird Explore Happiness. And that's my little Piper. And she comes to the pastor all excited and happy because it's her birthday party. And it is a universal event that most of us are happy about with our birthday, or we should be, right? We should celebrate that. And so she's happy all the time. But Bella and Bird remind her very gently that, you know, of course you want to be happy all the time, but not every birdie can be happy all the time. And so here's where you can cultivate happiness. And one of the tools in that book that I love is gratitude. And so we teach children and adults the importance of gratitude and how gratitude actually builds our happiness, being grateful for things. And so Bella and Bird give her a gratitude jar for her birthday where she can write in, you know, things that she's grateful for.
Right.
Little reminders. The last book in the series is Bella and Bird Explore Fear. And that's a little boy named Charlie. He comes to the pastor, noticeably afraid, holding a piece of paper, shaking uncontrollably. And he's afraid because he has a part in the school play. And Bella and Bird walk him through on how to manage his fear, especially with a school play. I know a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
Speaking is one of the most feared things. So adults can really relate to that. So teaching kids early on what to do with that fear is really important. So those are the four books. That one's coming out the beginning of next year. It takes a while, of course, to be illustrated and get to the printer. So the sadness book is available. Anger is going to be available in a few weeks. Happiness will be available in the fall. And then the fear book will follow that in early winter.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And they'll be able to find all of this on your website?
Yeah, on my website. Also, if you're an educator or a counselor or anyone that's buying in bulk, it's through Ingram Content. So that's the distributor. You can get it at discount bulk for schools or anyone that wants to bookstores or anything like that. So Ingram Content, it's there now. It's on there now through my distributor. And Amazon, they'll all be on Amazon. And all of that will be on my website, but you can Google it. There's also on my website, the Emotion Explorers Club. So you can join the Emotion Explorers Club that's subscribing to my newsletter. And I have lots of great information and good stories, relatable little stories and tidbits that I share in my newsletter for all of us to just learn about emotional intelligence and other things that are going on.
I love that. I love that. And for all the children, you know, I want to make sure the listeners know, for the children do not need to be fixed. They do not need to be understood. The first step is to understand and is having the language for them and for us. And Dr. Dina Plaskin is built an entire world around that idea that a therapy horse and a resilient little bird and stories that children love so much, they want to hear them again and again and again. And every time they do, are building the emotional tools that they will serve them for the rest of their lives. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. I think, you know, what you're doing is amazing. I think it's so important that children learn how to healthily, you know, understand what their emotions are and then learn how to express them verbally and overcome any type of emotions that need healing. And what would be one or two things that you want to make sure they understand from the conversation we had today?
I think understanding that every behavior has a story, and behind that story, there are tools, simple, very simple tools that we can give kids and ourselves that we can learn for a lifetime, that kids especially will always come back to. If we plant the seed early, that's the tools that we're going to give them to thrive as adults.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Well, thank you, Dr. Dina, for being on the show. I think this is an amazing thing. What you're doing right now is being able to help children through a series of books, and not only children, but these books are great for adults too. Because, you know, especially the generation that we came from, everything was meant to be pushed down and, you know, suck it up and move forward and, you know, all the other good stuff that we were taught that wasn't so good in the first place. But I think that being able to sit down with your child and share a fun story, but behind that story, there is a meaning, you know, and something that you could learn a valuable lesson from. You've done that. And so far, a lot of important emotions that children should really focus on and understand and be able to utilize in their daily lives. So I thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing these stories, sharing, you know, the meaning behind it, and also giving a message out to families that really, you know, we really need to take time to understand our children, to understand what they're going through, and then to learn from each other, you know. And it could be as simple as reading the children's book together and then talking about it, and how much good can come from just something so simple like.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you, and I hope you'll come back.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much.